In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This coming Saturday, we have an epistle reading from the fifth chapter of the first epistle of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. And as you often find at the end of St. Paul's epistles, you have a series of brief admonitions. But very often, we might think because they're stated so briefly, he doesn't elaborate, that these are not all that important. But in this particular reading, it's sort of like a string of spiritual pearls. They're very small, but they're very valuable, each individually. He says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all." Those that are unruly, those that are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, those that are not walking according to the tradition of the church, need to be rebuked. Those who are faint-hearted need to be comforted, and the weak need to be strengthened, but all need patience. Patience is a very important character of a mature Christian that we all need to develop. And patience doesn't mean that you ignore problems and you don't say anything about it. It means that you deal with it and you don't become impatient. You don't lose your temper. You don't fly off the handle. You don't try to push for a resolution before it's time. But you gently admonish. You strengthen. You comfort. Even though these people are having difficulties with the spiritual life, and you do all this with love. "See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both among yourselves and to all men." Not only should we not render evil for evil, but our answer to evil should be to do good in return. St. Peter, in his epistle, the first epistle, says, "Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing." And St. Paul, in the epistle to the Galatians, says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." So we receive a blessing when we bless and don't curse. And St. Paul, elaborating on his point in Galatians, says that we should especially do that to those that are our fellow believers. That's not to say that it's limited there. He clearly states in this epistle that we should do good to all men, and even to those that are wicked and abuse us. But within the church, that's where it begins. We especially need to do good to those people, and that's even when people in the church are unkind to us or say things that are hurtful or do things that cause us difficulty. We have to, again, be patient. We have to be loving. And we have to be willing to suffer like Christ suffered, despite the fact that he always does good to each and every one of us, but we don't always do good in return to him. And he's patient, long-suffering, and merciful to us. So we need to be merciful in return. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." In the sayings of the Desert Fathers, it says, "As he was dying, Abba Benjamin said to his spiritual sons, 'If you observe the following, you can be saved.'" And he quotes that very verse, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks." We should rejoice in whatever circumstance we find, whatever suffering we have to endure, because all of these things are a blessing to us. It's not easy to do this, but for example, when people speak evil of you, when they revile you and say all manner of evil against you falsely, what did Christ say? Rejoice, blessed are you, first of all. And rejoice, be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. If we really believe that, when that actually happens, when people abuse us, when they say things about us that are not true, we should look at that as a blessing. It's not easy to do. It's easier to say than it is to do it. But that's the attitude that we should have. And we should pray without ceasing. And of course, the highest form of this is to say the Jesus prayer continually to attain the prayer of the heart. That's what we should all be striving. And whatever spiritual problems we may be having, whatever difficulties we may endure, The Jesus prayer is a weapon that we can constantly use to overcome those things. And in everything we should give thanks, because everything is for our salvation if we receive it in the right way, if we accept it in that fashion. So we should rejoice always, pray always, and give thanks in all things. Do not quench the Spirit. St. John Chrysostom comments on this quite extensively and says that the light of the Spirit is like a lamp, and that's the imagery that St. Paul is using here. And he says, an impure life extinguishes the lamp of faith, just as if you were to throw sand on a lamp and extinguish the flame. He also says that the flame is not strong, and a strong wind of temptation comes. If you've not guarded the flame is going to be blown out. And then he uses the analogy of a house that has two doors. If both doors are open, obviously you have a cross breeze, and that's going to blow out a lamp that's caught in that cross breeze. But he says one door is our own mouth, and the other door is the mouth of the person that insults us. And even if the other person's door is open and they're insulting us, what can we do? We can shut our own door, and then we don't have that cross breeze. And the light of the Spirit is not blown out by our allowing that person's insult to quench the Spirit. He also says the lamp can be extinguished simply by the want of fuel. And he says that we add oil to our lamp when we give alms, when we pray, when we study the Scriptures. All evil extinguishes the flame. And he says that like anything that's damp or cold, you throw a wet rag on a lamp, the flame's going to go out. It says that which is warm and dry feeds the flame. So root out the sin, add fuel to the fire, and a strong flame will develop. And a strong flame can continue to burn even when the wind is blowing, even when it's raining. When you see a roaring forest fire, the rain doesn't put out a forest fire, at least not immediately. And so when we have a strong flame, we're able to endure even great temptations and great trials. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. What he means by do not despise prophecies is, of course, in the church of Thessalonica, there were people who were very concerned about the end of the world, and also in the early church you had many prophets that prophesied many things. Of course, you had people who were true prophets, and then you had some people who really didn't have the gift and were false prophets. And so we shouldn't despise the real thing, but what should we do? How do we know what the real thing is? Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. We have to have discernment. But how do we have discernment? And how do we apply this in our own day? Well, we don't have a lot of people who walk around and say, well, I'm a prophet of God. But as a matter of fact, we do have spiritual men in the church, people who are filled with the Holy Spirit and who say things that are prophetic. They don't usually describe themselves as such because they're humble men. We have spiritual leaders. We have people who teach and who guide us. But we also have people in the church that guide people in the wrong direction, that lead people astray. So what do? We have to have discernment. How do we have discernment? We want to have discernment, we have to know what the real deal is. And so that means that we have to study the Scriptures. We have to read the lives of the saints. We have to read the fathers. We have to study the teachings of the church and put it into practice. And if we do that, when we hear something, we'll have a sense that, yeah, that's right, that rings true. Or no, that doesn't match what the church tradition is, and so it can't be true. And so, test all things, hold fast to what is good. St. Paul closes with these words, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.